Well, welcome to Cornerstone Church's online podcast. This is Pastor Barry. Hope and pray that you will be ministered to as you listen to today's sermon.
We're going to be talking about, this is the last of a three-part series on spiritual disciplines. We talked about knowing God through the Bible and knowing God through prayer. Today is knowing God through rest. This is the toughest message of them all, because we live in a, this message is countercultural, including in the church. Countercultural, including often in the church. It's been said that we are human beings, not human doings. And it gets very hard when we get in a cycle of doing, 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 and doing. Jesus said this. He talked about if you are weighted down, if you're struggling, if you're striving, if you're exhausted, if you're, he used the word heavy laden or heavy burdened. He doesn't condemn us with that, but he does say we've got something to learn. Watch what it says in Matthew 11, 28 to 30. It says, come to me. Look, this invitation has come to Jesus. Come to him. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, it's burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Not just rest. You will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I will give you rest. You don't have to earn it. I will give you rest, rest for your soul. A soul that does not rest will grow weary. It's okay to be tired. It's just not okay to be weary. After you've worked out hard, after you've worked hard, it's okay to be tired. After a long day of work, you get to be tired. It's just not okay to be weary and to be wearied. I'm not convinced that our greatest asset is time. I think that perhaps our greatest asset is energy. It's not just the time we have, but it's our energy, and we need to steward our energy well. Come to me and you will find rest for your souls. There's this verse in Psalm 23, he leads me beside still waters. And what does he do? He restores my soul. And I think something has been eroded in our lives. I think that our souls can get eroded. Even however strong even a rock is, it just takes a matter of time. Enough water running over it over and over and over and over. It's only a matter of time before there is an erosion. I have served as an overseer for almost two decades. I'm currently not doing that. But I was pastoring pastors. And what I'm going to share with you, the majority of the pastors I pastored did not have the ability to hear. When they got in trouble, they did not have the ability to hear this. They ignored the warnings. This is how it went. I'm fine, I'm fine, I'm fine, I'm fine, I'm done. And somehow if they did not self-destruct, you could see the evidence of their unfineness in their families. And the cost on the family is huge. And what they modeled for their church was not healthy. Now for me, I think it's good to learn from our mistakes, but it's better to learn from somebody else's mistakes. And I don't have enough time to make all the mistakes myself. I need to learn from others. And what I'm going to share with you this morning, it's not because I've got so much wisdom or because I've got so many, so I've just figured it all out. I have all the answers. But what I feel like is some of the things I'm going to share with you is just because I've been this way before. I've been down this road before. I don't say that with arrogance. I just say that there's some experience. I remember a few years ago now, Audrey and I were on a motorcycle ride. She doesn't ride her own. She rides with me. And so she's on the back, and we're kind of going up towards Carstairs, headed towards Rocky Mountain House. We're on some back roads out of traffic and we're probably doing about 90, maybe getting close to 100. And there's a sign that says 30 kilometers ahead. And I mean, it just, it drops down. 30 kilometers ahead. And I could hear her say behind me, I wonder why it's 30. You know what? I'd been that way before. And I leaned back and I said, because there's a 90-degree corner up ahead. And it wasn't because I was so smart. It's just because I'd been that way before. I'd been on that road before. And loved ones, here's the deal. If there's a sharp corner ahead and you're doing 100 and don't slow down, bad things are going to happen, even if you're listening to Christian music. Right? Sometimes we just, be honest. Sometimes we think we're going to be okay. Oh, it'll be okay, it'll be okay. Well, won't happen to me. We think it'll be different. I wish it was true. Years ago, I heard this stat, and I don't believe that it's changed. It says 3 out of 10 pastors finish well. 30% of pastors finish well. I don't mean that 70% have moral failure or whatever, but they don't finish well. 70%. And I thought, I want to see that number change. You don't always know how you are. When we talk about your soul needing rest, your body needing rest, you don't always know how you are. There's a man named Jerry Cook. He was a Foursquare pastor years ago. He's with the Lord now. Jerry Cook wrote a book called Love, Acceptance, and Forgiveness that helped shape so many churches in North America. Love, Acceptance, and Forgiveness. But Jerry ended up having a heart attack and needing bypass surgery. And he said, I had been asking the Lord to heal my heart, but instead he healed my lifestyle. He said, because I was doing everything to contribute to the heart disease. Wasn't exercising, I wasn't eating right, I was stressed to the max, I wasn't sleeping, I wasn't, all the things. I was doing everything to contribute to the heart disease. He said, I was asking God to heal my heart, instead he healed my lifestyle. And so he would say to his wife Barbara after the surgery, how am I? Because he no longer had the ability to know how he was. And she'd say, you're stressed. And he'd say, no, I'm not. And she'd say, you're stressed. And he'd say, okay, I'm stressed. Didn't have the ability to look into his own life. My prayer today for all of us is there would be something of the breath of God that would blow through this place, would blow through your life. There's such a beautiful picture of Jesus after the resurrection. He's with the disciples. He's appeared to the disciples behind closed doors. He comes in, and it's found in John 20:22, a place in Acts that says, let times of refreshing come from the presence of the Lord. And I pray there just be a refreshing that comes today. John 20:22, Jesus says this, receive the Spirit. And in fact, it's this moment where some people have taken advantage of what Jesus was doing and got off a little bit on it. But what Jesus did, it says he breathed on them. He breathed on them and said this, receive the Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit. And do you know what happened? They received the Holy Spirit. He breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Now, he would tell them later, you need to wait until Jerusalem until the promise of the Father, another experience of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's another sermon for another time. But it's this point of he breathed on them and said, receive the Spirit. If we were to back up all the way to the book of Genesis, Genesis 2, verse 7, watch this. God breathed the breath of life into Adam, and man became a living being. After God created the animals, he forms Adam, and then he, into his nostrils, he breathed the breath of life, and man became a living being. And we see this again when Jesus breathes on them and says, receive the Holy Spirit. And somehow I hope and pray that God's Spirit would breathe some wind into your sails today. If you're weary, if you're tired, if you're burdened. We want to be passionate for the Lord. We want to be on fire for the Lord. I get that. I remember as a teenager, we used to write SOAR, S-O-A-R, sold out and radical. SOAR, we're going to be on fire for Jesus. I don't remember the year. Audrey, you might remember it. I'm thinking maybe 2010-ish, just as a ballpark. Some time ago. Audrey and I went to a place called Genesee Home. Genesee Home, we flew into Reno and then drove up into Northern California. There's this place called Genesee Home, and it was a retreat center. And it was a retreat center where they talked about Sabbath and rest. And I'll never forget, we were in the beautiful, beautiful old kind of farmhouse, but each room was a suite that had an ensuite, like just this lovely setting, and we're there with other people. We gathered together in the front room, and there's this beautiful fireplace, and the guy who was leading the retreat, he was the host of the retreat. He lit a fire, it was evening, it was just beautiful. And as he arranged the logs and lit the fire, he started to talk to us about rest and talk to us about Sabbath. And as the fire began to burn and burn beautifully, he said, did you notice that there needed, when I built the fire, I needed to put space between the logs? And he said, for that fire to burn brightly, there needs to be space between the logs. We want to be on fire for Jesus. We want to be sold out and radical. We want to serve him with everything that we have. But somehow there needs to be space between the logs for our souls to be restored. He said to us, some of you are like ducks on the water. And so on the surface, it looks like everything's calm. But underneath, you are paddling like crazy just to stay afloat. And the appearance of calmness is a trick. So you need to learn to have space between the logs. So I want to talk this morning for a few minutes about rest and rest for our souls. Exodus 20. Not going, Exodus 20 verse 11, it says this. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that's within them, and he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Hallowed. We went through last week about our Father who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Hallowed means holy. Holy. And it also encompasses where it says holy, hallowed it, that there's a wholeness, a completeness, a restoration, wholeness. And I think a holy rest, spirit, soul, mind, and body. I love that Adam and Eve were created on the sixth day. But you know what the seventh day was? The day of rest. Think about this. Day one, God said, let there be. There was light and dark, the heavens and the earth. Day two, there was water and sky, divided the waters. Day three, the land separated from the waters and trees. Then the next 3 days, sometimes we call it, rather than just 6 days of creation, we talk about these last three days of adornment. So what he created on the first day, he adorned. What he created on the second day, he adorned. What he created on the third day, he adorned. So on day four, he adorned the heavens with the sun, moon, and stars. Day five, he created earlier the sky and the water, separated them. So fish and birds, and then the last day six, animals and humanity on the land. Animals and Adam and Eve. But on day seven, he rested. And if you think about it, the very first thing that God invited Adam and Eve to do, very next day, their first full day together, was to rest. So we start day seven. Oh, Adam had some things to do on day six about naming all the animals. There was the first command to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and take dominion. But they're created on day six, and day seven was set apart as a day of rest. And I like starting from a day of rest rather than looking as the day of rest, a day of recovery. If I can just get to rest, I like starting from a place of rest and ministering out of that. Ministering out of a place of wholeness rather than a place of exhaustion. If I can just cross the finish line and then rest, I like that we can start at a place of health and rest. Jesus would tell us that the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. And that God gave it to us. God's given us a gift. He's given us a gift of rest. What are you going to do with it? It's not about what you can't do, I think, but rather what you can do. I had a friend who, good friend, Seventh-day Adventist guy. Grew up SDA, and He talked about growing up in his home, all the things that he wasn't allowed to do. Now, it was the Sabbath, it was Saturday, all the things that he couldn't do. And then he'd tell me all the things that he did sneakily. And some people still get pretty excited about what you can't do on a Sunday or on a Sabbath, on a Saturday. But somehow I think if we don't make a holy rest a priority, it's not going to happen. We have to carve out time for biblical rest, not just for recreation. I don't know about you, but sometimes when I'm involved in recreation, I'm more tired. I got to get back to work to have a rest. You know, we played so hard, and people will do that, and they'll just go so hard at recreation, and it's not restful. For me, it's not helpful just to do nothing as well. But here's two keys, and then we're going to keep going on. Jeremiah says this. Jeremiah 17, 20, 21, 22. It's hidden in here. Watch this. Thus says the Lord, take heed to yourselves and bear no burden on the Sabbath day, nor bring it in by the gates of Jerusalem, nor carry a burden out of your house on the Sabbath day, nor do any work, but hallow the Sabbath day as I commanded your fathers. First thing, bear no burden on the Sabbath. Entrust the Lord with your burdens. That's where they should be anyway. Not in the city of Jerusalem, not in the city of God, and not in our homes. This weight, this burden. We have to guard our homes. Lots of people will love your family, but you've got to guard your family. Many people will love your family, but we've got to guard our family. And somehow it has to be intentional, I think, that we bring our requests to God and our burdens to him where they should be anyway, where they need to be. I love the scripture that says, trust the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he'll make your path straight. He'll direct your paths. I had a friend in Airdrie when we pastored there. His name was Gene Packwood. He was an Anglican guy. Spirit-filled, loved Jesus. But he would always take July off. So he'd get a month of holidays. He'd take July off. And I was just beginning pastoring. And Gene's pastoring, you know, lead pastoring. And Gene said to me, Barry, this is what I do on June 30th. He said, I imagine the congregation in my hands, our church man, and I just lift them up to the Lord. And I say, Lord, I'm taking a rest now. They're yours. Oh, great shepherd of the sheep, would you look after the church while I'm away? He said, and then I'd give the church to the Lord. And then I would take a break. And it was this restful time. You know what happened when August came? He was so refreshed and came back and was so strengthened. It's not so much what you can't do. And I know lots of people can't. Well, I'm taking a month off. And that was Gene's story. We all have our own story. But somehow when we think about the Sabbath, for me, it's got to be I bear no burden. For some of us, we need to bear no cell phone. It's become an addiction. We need to bear no cell phone. Well, what about an emergency? First, there are very few real emergencies. And secondly, if there's an emergency, they'll find you. But people are addicted, and I think I need to bear no cell phone so I can be undistracted. It's not so much what you can't do, but what you can do and what's helpful. And what's helpful for you may not be what's helpful for me. For me, I'm really wired with a sense of accomplishment, and I've discovered it really helps me to accomplish something. But it's what I want to do, not what I have to do. And this is where Audrey and I don't know if we've got it together yet. Just the way we think. And she thinks with such clarity, and I think with such different clarity. Because I will go out, you know, after Remembrance Day, a nice day, and say, I'm going to put the Christmas lights up. And she will say this, while you're up there, why don't you wash the windows? And you can, if you listen closely, you can almost hear the joy being sucked out of my heart. Because it's so practical. It makes so much sense. You've got the ladder, you're on the roof, you're right there. And sorrow of sorrows, I don't want to wash the windows. And it's not like she's saying, you do it, I'm going to go do something else. There's a new hallmark on. No, it's I'll be in, you know, she's the inside guy, I'm the outside guy, all of that, we'll do it together. But it's like, no, I don't want to. What I want to do, well, Christmas lights, that seems like working. It's a joy. It's life to me. And there are other things. You might think I'm a little strange. Well, you might anyway, but I like to do math problems on holidays. I like to do logic problems. Some think that I'd rather have a root canal. You know, do something enjoyable. But it's not work for me. It's distraction and it's enjoyable. I love to cook twice a year. And I think, you know, you probably haven't lived until you've had the Marston Marvelous Meatloaf. But it only happens on rare occasions when I want to. Well, I think I'd like to make a meatloaf for supper. Well, could you make something for lunch? No, I don't want to make lunch. I don't want to be how often would you like to do this? Never, until I finally feel like it in its life. Hey, wouldn't that be fun? But it's this balance of it's not what you can't do, and it's not what you have to do, but is there something that's restful? I read a book years ago called The Rest of God. Mark Buchanan wrote it. And he talked about, you know what he likes to do on his day off? Is cut the grass. Is there something therapeutic about seeing the lines and doing all of that? For me, I love somebody else to cut my grass. I could watch them do it all day long. But somehow, if you say, Barry, I can't see taking a day off. You don't know my schedule. It doesn't work. Like that's not my reality. I would say, well, what can you do? Can you take a night? Can you take a morning? Can you take an afternoon? Can you take time for your soul? Where do you start? You know, the Hebrew Sabbath, it was actually from sundown to sundown. It wasn't a day, it was from the Hebrew counting, sundown to sundown. So Audrey and I tried that. Some time ago, we thought we're going to take from Friday night till Friday after supper till Saturday after supper, because I'll work every Saturday. But thought, okay, I can wait until after supper on Saturday. And I can wait until, you know, I can work all the way up until supper. We think, oh, this is going to be perfect. This will be like a 24-hour period to take a break. Marvelous, wonderful. Friday till Saturday. You know what happened Saturday morning? The very first time, what happened Saturday morning, our ox fell in a pit. You know, Jesus said, which of you, if on a Sabbath, wouldn't take your ox or donkey falls in the pit? Our furnace blew up. And so the whole Sabbath morning was calling the furnace guys, and it was cold in the house, and doing all the stuff. It was like, come on. And then the next Saturday, the ox in the pit again. I don't remember what it was, but it's like, okay, this isn't working. But not every time is like that, and we didn't give up on finding a way to have rest for our soul. Secondly, first thing was bear no burden. The secondly is worship. Is a day of worship. I'm not just talking about reading your Bible and or praying and singing, but a day to enjoy God or a time to enjoy God. This Sabbath, a day to enjoy God. Somehow living in an intentional awareness of His presence, a time to rest and enjoy Him. Not a time to just do church stuff. And what I had said to the pastor type people was, this isn't about ministering to the Lord, and it's not about ministering for the Lord. It's allowing the Lord to minister to you. And more often than not, and I don't think it was said, but it was like this: Lord, you will never wash my feet. Remember Peter saying, Lord, you're going to serve me? No, that's not going to happen. Do you know the Lord wants to serve you and minister to you? Because He loves you. You're going to get some pushback when we talk about Sabbath. Culturally, most of all, I think from Pharaoh. Exodus chapter 5, verses 1 through 13. And we're going to look at chapter 6 for a little bit, and then we're going to wrap up. We'll be done. I'll give you a rest. Exodus 5:1. Afterward, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, "Thus says the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast to me in the wilderness." And Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice and let Israel go? I don't know the Lord, nor will I let Israel go." They said, "The God of the Hebrews has met with us. Please let us go 3 days' journey into the desert and sacrifice," read the word worship, "and sacrifice worship to the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence or with the sword." Verse 4 says, "Then the king of Egypt said to him, Moses and Aaron, why do you take the people from their work? Get back to your labor." And Pharaoh said, "Look, the people of the land are many now, and you make them rest from their labor?" So the same day Pharaoh commanded the taskmasters of the people and their officers, saying, "You shall no longer give the people straw to make brick as before. Let them go and gather straw for themselves, and you shall lay on them the same quota of bricks which they made before. You shall not reduce it, for they are idle." Therefore they cry out, saying, "Let us go sacrifice to our God." Verse 9, "Let more work be laid on the men, that they may labor in it, and let them not regard false words." And the taskmasters of the people and their officers went out and spoke to the people, saying, "Thus says Pharaoh, I will not give you straw. Go get straw where you can find it, yet none of your work will be reduced." So the people were scattered abroad throughout the land of Egypt to gather stubble instead of straw. And the taskmasters forced them to hurry, saying, "Fulfill your work, your daily quota, as when there was straw." Verse 4 said, "Why do you take the people from their work? Get back to your labor." Verse 5 said, "You make them rest." Verse 6 says, "For they're idle. We must do something to get them busy." Verse 13 was hurry. Hurry and busy. Hurry up and be busy. Be busy and get about it, so that you don't rest, so that you don't have time to worship, so that you don't have time to be with God. How many things in our lives are like that? You want to take some time away? You must not be busy enough. I'd like to have that time. I'd like to have that kind of time off. What pharaohs do you have in your life that would say that you must not be busy enough if you got time to rest? Loved ones, this is harsh to hear, I think. I'm not going to say it harshly. Sometimes it's the people in our lives, and sometimes it's the people in our heads, that they haven't actually said it, but we're so concerned about what people will think. And sometimes it's just the devil being Pharaoh. You must not have anything to do. You have lots of other things. You shouldn't be neglecting those. Here we go, Exodus 6, and we'll come in the home stretch here. Exodus 6, "Then the Lord said to Moses, now you'll see what I'll do to Pharaoh. For with a strong hand he will let them go, and with a strong hand he will drive them out of his land. And the Lord spoke to Moses and said, I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty. But my name, Lord, I was not known to them. I have established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, where they were, the land of their pilgrimage, in which they were strangers. I've also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage." There is a groaning in bondage with the burdens that they placed on them. "But I've remembered my covenant. Therefore I say to the children of Israel, I am the Lord. I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will rescue you from their bondage. I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgments. I will take you as my people. I will be your God. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God, who brings you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians." My prayer, my hope, when I talked about the wind of the Spirit blowing through this place and through your lives, is that you would be released from the burdens of Pharaoh, of a world that will not let us rest. God wants to release you from the burdens that you carry, that weigh you down, that you carry and that others have laid on you. Who released the people out of bondage? Don't answer Moses. It was God. He used Moses, but it was God. You might say this morning, "Barry, you don't know my situation. I can't take a day I'd never survive. There is just not enough time left over. I've done the math." Not on holidays. I've done the math. You know, loved ones, I've had that same conversation with people who said, I can't tithe. I can't give 10%. You just don't know. I won't have enough. You may think, I'll show Barry my schedule. And yep, he'll look and say, absolutely, there's no way. And I say, Barry, I'll show you my budget. Absolutely, there's no way, there's not enough. And I would say the answer isn't showing it to me, it's showing to God. Show God your schedule, show God your finances. Because I know this, that little can be much in the hands of Jesus. Is that you can look and say, I've done the math, this is a small boy's lunch. Some little barley loaves and some fish, it's not enough. And Jesus will say, it's enough for 5,000 people, men plus women and children. And there's going to be enough left over because it's in the hands of Jesus. There's a little oil, a little cake. We're just making it before we die. There's going to be enough. It's going to last you the whole famine. But I've just got a little, get some empty jars and pour some oil, and the oil will not run out until all your debt is paid. It's going to be enough. Somehow I think we need to not try and overproduce. There's a book that I read probably once a year, maybe once every 18 months. It's called Leading on Empty. It's a guy by the name of Wayne Cordero that wrote it, Lead It on Empty. He was leading on empty. You know, the gas tank, it's you're going on faith and fumes. He was leading on empty. He was pastoring a church in Hawaii. Oh. He was just tapped out, and he was driving down this little country road. Came up to a farmhouse, and outside the farmhouse it said farm fresh eggs. But on the sign, over that sign, it had another sign that said, eggs are all out today, come back tomorrow. And somehow the Lord spoke to him through that. Said, you know what, there's going to be more eggs tomorrow. Come back tomorrow. Don't overproduce. He said that there'll be more tomatoes tomorrow. There's a few more that will ripen tomorrow. Come back tomorrow. See, and he wrote this, and this stood out to me. He said, he didn't say Barry, but that's how I took it. He said, Barry, we want to give people the finest and the freshest, the best. And sometimes you need to say, come back tomorrow. There'll be more then. But for today, I'm done. For today, it's enough. Knowing the remedy doesn't heal us. It's like reading the menu doesn't fill us up. I know for me that I have never been more vulnerable to depression other than when I'm totally fatigued and overtired, when there has been an erosion of my soul. We need to rest, and we need to find rest for our souls. I'm told this, that a vehicle can travel or can go 40 to 50,000 kilometers without an oil change. But then it will grind to a halt. Maybe it won't grind to a halt. Maybe it will just seize right up and you're done. Some people need to stop and get an oil change. Loved ones, even ambulances pull off the road to get an oil change. Think about it. Bear no burdens. Here's the two things that I was saying. A Sabbath day, a Sabbath time, a Sabbath window. What? Somehow finding some time. Planning your time with things that fill your tank. Relaxing, fun, sure, enjoyable. But just a day to find rest. And then secondly, worship. That's savoring your time with God. Filling your soul to the brim. And Pharaoh may speak and say, you must not have anything to do if you can take that kind of time. I just say, thanks, Pharaoh. Never mind. Because what we don't want to do is we don't want to have Psalm 23 come to bear. He makes us lie down. And the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Leads me beside still waters. He makes me lie down. Because I would rather him make me lie down than make me lie down. I would rather lean into, I know how to walk in a rhythm and a cadence of life, of rest, not erosion, and let him make me lie down, not make me lie down. You're done. You need to stop now. I don't want to hear that from the Lord. I want to be sensitive long before that place that we would walk and rest. Let's go ahead and pray. Lord Jesus, we come to you. And that's what you said. If anyone's weary, anyone tired, any heavy, come to me. And so, Lord Jesus, we come to you. And you said that we need to learn from you. And God, help us to learn. Help us to find a spiritual discipline of rest. That we don't live exhausted. That we don't live weary. That we don't live overproducing. God, we can look at our schedules and our responsibilities and think there's no time, there's no time. God, we come to you now with our schedules and with our lives. We prayed a dedication prayer. Lord, you said, we read that scripture that if anyone opens the door, you'll come in and have a meal with us. Lord, I just picture this unhurried, unrushed time of fellowship, this meal with you. Lord, we want that. God, help us to learn to walk in a cadence of life, in a rhythm of life where we walk and in rest and we minister out of rest, not out of exhaustion. God, this Sabbath we're talking about is not somehow recovery. It's a place of wholeness that we minister out of. So God, we bring you our burdens, even at this moment, and lay them at your feet. Cast our cares upon you because you care for us. Lord, we pray that you'd help us to walk in worship and communion with you. Show us, help us see how to do this as we grow in trust with you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for today's edition of Cornerstone Church's online podcast. May God continue to richly bless you and lead you as we follow Jesus together.